All right, it's a good morning to you and welcome to Realm of the Historics. And of course, it's a Saturday morning, quite very chilly, and taxis nowhere to be found. You stand, and you say, Clan Vinduk, Clan Vinduk, Clan Vinduk. Just the same way you are going to stand again and say, Chomuse, until one last one. Yeah. So please, that's the taxi in Windhoek. Do you remember that song that says taxi in Windhoek? Long time ago song. Very, one of those songs that are buried under the carpet now because it is what we call Amapiano today. But we are here and we just want to analyze some of the powerful events that took place during the week. During the week, of course, there was a meeting between Trump and Xi Jinping. There was also a meeting, there is also a meeting between Trump and Viktor Orban of Hungary. And many, many, many meetings. You know, things that are shaping the global geopolitics. Or things that are, you know, shaping global politics, global economics. Everybody for themselves. Everyone for himself and God for us all. When it comes to economy, or when it comes to world politics and world economics, is everyone for himself and God for us all. So every country is fighting for their own. Every country is on a life supply. So they are fighting for their own life. No country is fighting for the other. Africa is fighting for Palestine. Well, the rest of the people are fighting for. And the people say, yeah, because Palestine also fought for Africa. No. Palestine never fought for Africa. But we'll find that, you know, we'll find that, just like you've been told, apparently, the church fought for independence. You know, apparently, the Roman Catholic, Anglican, and the Elsin, apparently they fought for independence. So, which means the government must also consider, you know, money to allocate to these churches because they are not ex-combatants, they are ex-prayatants. They are ex-prayatants. Apparently, they were fighting with prayer. Praying for, praying against colonial, you know, power. Well, it's like somebody allowing thieves to get in and then praying for God not to allow him to get the wallet. That's what churches were doing, especially these three, because these three churches were the ones, in fact, who were the wheels of colonialism. So they were the wheels of the wagon called colonialism. So for them to come back and say they fought, it's like somebody praying after allowing somebody to get into his bedroom or after allowing a lady to get into your bedroom with your husband, you are praying for activity not to happen when they are already inside. So, or you're allowing a man to get into your bedroom with your wife and you are praying that, but there must not be pregnancy. Well, that depends on what the result will be. Because the people are already inside. So, but that's not what we are going to be talking about. We are just going to focus on the analysis of what the NEFF deputy president said this week when he stood to criticize the president. That, the president is like, she's walking back on her words. She said education is free. Now she's only talking about tuition and registration. But education is supposed to be free according to Kalimbo Ipumbu. The education is supposed to be free. So which means the government is supposed to pay.
When life gifts you.
Honey, the washing machine broke again.
Take control with Express Credit. Get fast, reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application, same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS GIFT to 32274.
So, which means the government is supposed to pay for your transport, according to Kalimba Ipumbu now. The government is supposed to pay for your transport. The government is supposed to pay for your accommodation. And the government is supposed to pay for your food that you are eating. For your laptop, for your laptop bag, everything. The government is supposed to cover everything. And then your parents are supposed to walk, are supposed to just fold their hands and just come at your graduation and ululate. You see, that's according to Kalimba Ipumbu of NEFF. Because when the president said, look, we are just going to pay for registration and tuition. That's what we are going to cover. We are going to say there'll be no more registration fee required because the budget is already, we are already. You see, what the government did was they did a reverse gear. Now the budget is going to come before school starts. Before studies start. Unlike before when budget comes later. So now the government is going to cover everything. So there'll be no refund. The government is going to pay everything on the go. So that when you are admitted, there will be no registration fee, there will be no tuition fee. So, but that's not enough, according to NEFF's deputy president, Kalimba Ipumbu. The government was supposed to pay for you, for your transport, for your accommodation. In fact, transport is to and fro and between. The government is supposed to pay for printing of your papers, if any, for your passport photo, whatever. The government is supposed to pay for your noodles, for lunch, dinner, and breakfast, respectively. The government is also supposed to pay for you, where you are sleeping, your mattress, your blanket. In fact, your rent, because parents cannot afford that, Government must come in. The president must now pay these things to prove that she is true to her word. Okay, let me take a short music break so that I can come with a hardcore. I want to come with a hardcore tire. Today we are going to run on a tubeless tire so that we understand, how lazy we are shaping society as politicians. So, I think politicians, most of you politicians, I think you have proven to me and many, you know, analysts that you argue from anger and not from data. That's number one. Most politicians from, you know, some you can really hear, you know, when you listen to parliament, I follow parliament very well, but I've come to learn one thing, that there are few politicians that go to parliament with their brain. A lot of them leave their brain at home. And you will hear few politicians that will argue really from data, you know, data, available data, available statistics. And then you will hear politicians just argue for the sake of arguing. I just want to speak so that people may know that I'm in parliament. No data, no statistics, no information, nothing. You see, and you'll really tell that this person has at least taken time to read and substantiate what they are talking about. You know, I'll give an example of people like Job and Panda. You know, people like, for example, Dr. Itula. You know, if they stand and you see, sometimes you hear, you know, Bernardus Swartboy. and then Mark Henry, you know, Venani. You know, those people, when they stand to speak, I mean, Dr. Itula is not in parliament, but I'm just giving him, putting him here as an example. When they stand to critique a government policy or something, they criticize it, and you really know that, okay, they have read. They have some statistics. They have some data. But the rest of the parliamentarian, even a lot of people from the opposition, you know, from the opposition table, you just argue from anger. So you argue from anger, not from statistics, not from data available. So there is no data available that at least that empowers your anger. It's just anger. You know, just because it is a swapo, a member that is talking about something. But if you listen to those people that I've mentioned, also I put here even Mike Kabekotora, I put him there in that list. You will hear that these people have data on the ground. Like they have statistics. They are talking about, you know, they have gone through, they have read something. So also, it's not just us ordinary citizens that are suffering from listening, that are having listening issues. You know, one thing that I've realized, one thing that I've picked up is that we do not listen. Or we do not listen to understand. That's one problem that we have. We, you know, even politicians don't listen to understand, at least. Because when the president was addressing the, it was a State of the Nation address, the president mentioned two things, two areas that are going to be free next year. Two. And I was listening very well. And I want you to come and prove me wrong and tell me that I didn't listen. You know, the reason why I sit to listen to presidential presentation, specifically on this one, because I knew we were going to come to a level where somebody is going to say the president did not, is not working according to what she said, to her promises. Okay, I'm not defending the president, but I'm defending the fact that two things were mentioned. And this is where NEFF got it wrong. Okay, number one, the president talked about registration. Secondly, the president talked about tuition fee. Those were the two things that the president said were going to be free. There was no transport mentioned, no accommodation mentioned that the government was going to cover accommodation and transport. In fact, at a certain occasion, the president repeated that, and she said, accommodation and transport, parents must be prepared to cover that. And in fact, at a certain point, we started to hear the Ministry of Education trying to, you know, start to clarify the parameters on which tuition and registration, you know, will be free. They started talking about, you know, key sectors in education that are seen to be, you know, that are seen that they will be major in terms of, you know, making Namibia industrialized, or what, I forgot the term that they used there. So which means not, no, there is not going to be free in all sectors, it seems. So the Minister of Education now, in fact, there could be a lot of unclear stuff. That's up to the Minister of Education to clarify. But for me, I'm just giving an analysis. I'm not speaking on their behalf. So, but look, if you say, that education should be completely free, and that the government must now start to pay for your noodles, your breakfast covered by government, your accommodation covered by government, everything, almost, if it was possible, even your oxygen as a student, paid by government. In fact, including the your carbon dioxide that you exhale, because we are inhaling and exhaling here, so everything should be paid for. Now, do you know what that means? That means your parents will contribute zero to your education, contributing zero, because the government is paying for everything. Then, what does that mean to the pocket of the people that are paying tax? It means that NAMRA must get deeper into the pockets of the few people that are paying tax to the government. It means that tax will increase, because some of you parents are not working in an informal employment, so which means you don't pay tax. So which means your neighbor's pocket, which already has a hole, that hole must be expanded so that your child can have free breakfast and lunch and dinner, and including free accommodation, and the way it is possible, free oxygen. Your neighbor's pocket, which already has a hole, must be pierced again, so that it, or maybe that hole must be expanded, and you walk free, because your child is now taken care of by government. With the little that has remained in my medulla oblongata, I would say that understanding is very toxic. You know, that understanding is very toxic. And if this is the society we want to shape as politicians, then I'm afraid that Namibians will go nowhere, because they are not growing up with any sense of responsibility. If parents are refusing to be responsible to a certain extent, in fact, assisted by NEFF, that becomes dangerous. So I think we are supposed to meet government halfway. Because when the government says, okay, fine, tuition fee, the money that you used to pay every month to cover your education, without which you cannot write an exam if by the end of the year you do not pay, that money is taken out. The government will bear that burden, and including, you know, registration. So, NEFF wants 100%, you know, coverage by the government, from your oxygen to your dreams. Everything must be free. Then, what NEFF wants is to burden the few taxpayers that are paying, because they are paying for even those parents that are not paying tax. So when you are saying certain things must be increased, you are talking about somebody's pocket that need to be more expanded, or maybe the government that need to get into somebody's pocket with their two hands, to the point that these taxpayers will not even be able to afford basics, because their tax will be higher. So we want free education to the detriment of certain people that are paying tax. That's what we want. So I'm also not that much sound when it comes to, you know, I'm not that much sound economically. But let me say now, okay, fine, education is free now, 100% from your dreams to your oxygen. as a student, those who are supporting what Kalimba Ipumbu is saying here. And then other people that also depend on government will say, look, the 1,600 is not enough because we are raising grandchildren. And Matthew Ashongo of the Namibia Federation for the National Federation of People with Disability in Namibia said, and I quote, that, you know, people with disabilities should receive double when they are 60. So, which means the money that they are getting now, if a person with disabilities reaches 60, they must receive double. Okay. Fine. Let's say by that time, the government, because they want to be politically correct, they have increased, you know, grant to 3,000 as Hage wanted. May soul rest in peace. So, which means a person with disability must get 6,000 for turning 60. Whether that is logically sound or not, that is not mine to judge. Do you know what you are doing? You are threatening taxpayers, some of which are not even, you know, government employees. They are working in the private sector. And they have not been salary increments of late. And you are the same politicians that are coming again to threaten certain companies that you think are not paying their workers properly, and you threaten them to increase salaries, or if not, you are going to close Chinatown. So where are these people going to get the money? Because these employers are paying tax. And now you want to increase, you want to cover education 100% free. In fact, you want to cover the student to be 100% covered from their dreams to their oxygen in class. At the same time, you know, orphans and vulnerable children, people with disabilities and old people, senior citizens, also demand that they must be given, you know, at least increment. Not only them, the 18 to 59, the 600 that they are getting now through Ministry of Gender, people will demand to have 1,000 at least, or 2,000. So that comes from the pocket of a taxpayer, of which NEFF is not considerate of. They want 100% coverage so that parents will walk, you know, freely, having nothing on their shoulder, having nothing to worry about, so that we can drink, you know, Tassenberg very well, because now we have a budget. We are no longer paying registration, and we are no longer paying tuition fee. Government is taking care of that. Accommodation offer also, the food, and everything. Carbon dioxide and every oxide is paid for by government. You know, and we want, and after that we want to call ourselves that we are a society, responsible. I don't think so. So when we argue, we need to argue from, we need to have the data and the statistics, you know, available. We need to be guided by statistics and by data. And we need to know why is education free in certain countries? In fact, education is not even free in America, not even free in Britain. Education is not even free in South Africa, which is 40 times larger economically. You know, the GDP that we have here, maybe it's just 10% of South Africa's, you know, GDP. But South Africa does not have such a free education that we have here. So we need to find out how did whoever is having a free education system, how did they do it? Is this something that we can afford to do abruptly, or is it something that we can do gradually, step by step? So that we advise government accordingly. Some years ago, there were some statistics that Namibians spend more in alcohol than they spend in education. So this is the route NEFF want parents to continue in, so that parents can be irresponsible enough. You see, we are complaining for stationaries. We are complaining that stationery is becoming expensive, because we are buying, to go and buy a pen and a book and a school bag and school shoes and uniform. We are complaining as parents. You want who to buy uniform for your child? Or you want whom to buy school shoes and a bag for your child? You want government to do that? And then you do what? You see, this is the same mentality that we have in our families, very much entitled, where somebody that works, you know, somebody that works, that employed, is as if they have sinned. Really, it is as if they have committed a big sin for getting employed, because everything is dumped on them and you continue drinking. You are drunk all the time, but your child, you don't even think about your child who is, you know, in Windhoek at your sister's, you know, sister's house. You don't think about the electricity, the water, and the expenses, additional expenses that she is, you know, incurring because of the extra mouth that has, you know, become part of the house. But you are in the village there drinking. Not even $100 to say, please see what you can buy, you can add there. Zero. So this kind of mentality is dangerous, is very dangerous. And it is as if history is repeating itself, because this is what our forefathers did. Now we are advocating for the same mentality to continue. I'm not going to go deeper there, but we are, I'm not sure, I think it was around 2015, 2016, if I'm not mistaken, when that data was released. I'm trying to remember whether it came from the Namibia Statistic Agency, or maybe there were other people that just did independently, you know, research on their own. But they suggested that Namibians spend more money in alcohol than in the education of their children. In fact, it was targeting Namibian parents, that you spend more money in alcohol and you don't complain when beer is becoming expensive. Nobody's complaining, you know, and the table can be furnished with bottles of alcohol. But you cannot do that to buy, you cannot buy, you know, a ream of paper. You cannot buy a ream of paper and a set of, you know, a mathematics set and hard, you know, hard copies, or how do you call these books? Hardcover, I don't know. Yeah, those are hard books. Something to contribute to education, to the education of the child. We feel that is a responsibility of government. Now, government is not responsible for raising kids. Kids should be raised from the house. So I don't know why we want the government to pay 100% for our education or for our children's education. I don't know why we want that. I need to hear why. And the number in studio is 083-2888-401. Why do you want government to pay 100%? Why do you want to fold your hands? And we say no, when the government, when we were paying school fees or school fund, things were cheap. You know, every child had a chair, every child had a book, and every child had a pen. Do you know where those things used to come from? Because most politicians speak from anger. They don't speak from statistics. They don't speak from data. They don't even know the history of how we started as an economy. They just want to argue. It's a, you know, it's a political, you know, how can I say, competition kind of thing, you know, because I spoke. Yeah, I told them. But before you told them, can you sit down and first trace where we are coming from? Why do we used to pay school fee? I mean, school fund. We used to pay maybe $10, 10 rand. We used to pay 10 rand. In fact, when we came, maybe it was $30 or something, school fee, school fund. And every person had a chair. There were tables. Now, tables are not there. People don't even know that 90% of budget of the Ministry of Education goes to pay staff. 90% of that money goes to pay salaries. So when you got independent, those days, Namibia was classified as a poor country, upcoming economy. We only found 7 billion rands, according to statistics. And our GDP by 1990 was just 7 billion. Now, with 7 billion, how were schools covered with tables and chairs? Where do those things used to come from? And how was every child having a book and, you know, learning material? Enough. Where were those things coming from? Number one, you need to look at your population by 1990. How many children were in school compared to 2025? How many children are in school you see that there is a big gap of comparison there in terms of population. By 1990, we were between 1 million and 1.2 million. By 1999, we were 1.5 million, 1.4 million approximately. So, that's why we are 3 million today. So by 1999, we were approximately 1.4 million. And the census of 2001 brought us at 1.8 million. And by 2011, we were, after that census, we were 2 million. So when you look at the number, the population then, we were very few. So it was easy to, you know, distribute material to kids. Just like, because most of these materials were donations from, you know, through the United Nations and other agencies, international agencies. That's why in 1990, when you received drought relief, you could go, you know, it was a full shopping. 6 big bags of maize meal. In fact, there were 12 because you have the other 6. So 12 bags of maize meal. 12 bottles of cooking oil. To a certain extent, there were even 24 bottles of cooking oil. And then 24 cans of fish. Then, you know, 24 packets of beans. That's how you used to receive that because that used to be donation. That does not used to come from government. Government could not afford that. That's why today the population has increased. By that time the population was very small. The population has increased now, and you are now complaining that one tin of fish is not enough and one bag of maize meal is not enough because you are many. Because now government is the one that is buying those things because they have been classified as upper income country. They are the ones that the government is the one that is buying that and give it to you. And given your population, the government cannot afford to give you 12 bags of, you know, of maize meal the way the United Nations used to give to you. At least some of you are not maybe born by that time. You know, I remember my grandmother coming to receive those things. We have to put ox, you know, 2-3 oxen and hook it to a canoe so that we can take my grandmother's, you know, stuff to the village. Because it was a full shopping. But now you have up to 1 million people that might depend on, you know, assistance from the government. So that, on its own, unless the government makes trillions of dollars in GDP, that's when they can afford that you can now start to have 12 bags of maize for you know, for drought relief. But as it stands now, we can't afford that. And maybe we can afford to strain taxpayers and further threaten their pockets in the name of being politically correct. That's why the government says to this year that no, please, old age people, we respect you, senior citizens, but please, let's take care of the youth also. You know, we want to take care of the youth too. So this year, there'll be no increment, because we want to take care of the young people. And we know that last year, when the late president at the beginning said that his desire was to increase old age pension to 3,000, everyone was happy. And when I came to explain the implications of that here, people were angry with me, you know, on the radio. Because we don't understand what it takes. So, and the Minister of Finance then came to say, no, we cannot increase. We are not going to increase, the up to 3,000 because of budgetary constraints. We don't have such money to do that. That's almost double what the government is giving now. And we don't have that budget. Yeah. Some people came out full force, with full anger. No, the president said it. The president said it, so it must be done. You see, the president may say something. That's why the president has ministers to advise. That's why the late president had ministers to advise him that this is impossible. It will not work.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Thank you.
All right, that was Kepi Mweket, Pat Mweket.
To live up to your expectations, neither are you here to live up to mine. Yeah. I don't owe no one, no obligation, no one owe me none, so everything is fine. I said I am. I am. Don't underestimate my ability. Don't definite my character. Don't belittle my authority. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I said I am. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am the rock of ages, you cannot move I at all. I am the sun of lightning, you cannot move I at all. Son of Jacob, cannot be moved at all. I am the son of Moses, you can move I at all. I am the son of David, you cannot move I at all. I'm a firm like thunder, you cannot move I.
Okay, so the things that we cry for in Namibia and other country, other people from other countries are listening to us. They are always surprised. And you say, what is going on? You know, very, very, very much certain things we take for granted. So, statistics said that Namibians spend more in alcohol than in education. So, they spend more in alcohol than they are supposed to spend in education. And that's the reason why we are fighting for government to cover, so that we will have more money to enjoy ourselves as parents. And then we forget. Because in my lifetime, I have never heard anybody complaining how beer is expensive. But the same money that you're using for alcohol, you will have more change coming back when you go and buy certain things for your kids' school. So I don't think we are correct desiring that the government must cover 100% education. I still believe that there must be a part where we should play, there must be a part we should play as the parents and guardians of the children. Otherwise, the mentality that we have is wrong. It's the same mentality we have on our siblings, on our brothers who are working. We send our children to them. No, Junior is coming to do his nasty. Yeah, you need to prepare for him to come and be there. Fine, he's there. But do you know that Junior is coming to eat, sleep, bath? And now, in most houses there is Wi-Fi. And Junior, among others, is also playing games, downloading, or even to a certain extent, uploading. So if you put all that expenses together, you will see that you as a parent are contributing zero to all that. Just because I am your brother and your son is with me, so you fold your hands. So, and when confronted to say, please, at least send something to at least contribute something. Mm-mm. It started to be a family war. You see other people in the family coming in to defend the other people. And most of the time, you know, in family, we defend people that, we defend the wrong. We defend the people that are wrong. We only start to complain when we want, when it is now our time, when mom wants the money, and I said, no, I don't have money. That's when she will go to my sister. You see, also you also need to be contributing something there, because now your brother is the one that is taking care of your child and you are here. Just because that time mom wanted money and there is no money. That's when you hear them going to the other person. So family, if this is the understanding, then we are becoming very toxic. then we are becoming very toxic. And we are raising or, you know, crafting a very toxic and entitled society. You know, there are people in certain countries that will suffer if they should be refugees. Namibia is one of those countries. Botswana, South Africa. Because Namibians are very spoiled. And what NEFF is saying is one indication that Namibians are very spoiled and they can never, you see, if what is happening to Zimbabwe happened to us and we flee to other countries, we will become what? What are we going to do there in those countries? Nothing. Because we don't have any craft. We don't have, most of us don't have skill. So that's why people come here. They come here and they look. You don't know whether they are coming or going, but it just in a year or something, the person is already driving a car, having a mini college already established. But when they came from wherever they came from, they were looking, you know, the way they were looking, you didn't know whether they were coming or going. But if a Namibian should live here and go into Malawi, for example, as a refugee, that Namibian will suffer. Because most of us are just entitled people. We don't have any skill. There's nothing that we can do for ourselves. We only know how to pick a phone and criticize the government on radio. Because that's what our politicians are doing anyway. And in fact, most of our politicians are speaking from anger and not from data. They don't have statistics. They don't have data on the ground. They have, in fact, nothing tangible to support what they are saying. It's just because he's a politician. So they will have to say something. You know, there are politicians, when they speak, I listen. If Job Mpanda is speaking and Swartboy or Venani or Nashinge or Itula are speaking, you can tell that these people are speaking from statistics. You may not need to agree with them in everything, but there is something that, you know, gives you an appetite to follow what the person is saying, because they are speaking from statistics. Yes, there may be anger here and there. They might miss a mark here and there. But all in all, in fact, I forgot Venani and Mike Avekotora there. So these are the people, when they speak, you know that they are speaking from statistics. But some of our brothers in politics, you really wonder where they really come from. Their speech is just very scattered. There's just nothing that gives you the appetite to follow and listen, because most of them don't speak from, you know, from statistics. There's no data. There's no document to which you are referred, you know, for further, just speech and demands that are very irresponsible and, you know, unrealistic. So we can't have leaders like that, because then we are going to be in a very terrible, you know, situation where a leader will make a decision and that will render us all bankrupt. So this is a sign that I think most of you were not listening to the State of the Nation address. It's also a sign that even politicians that were close to the president did not listen. So this happens when you don't listen. That's number one. Number two, it happens when you listen with an intention to respond and not with an intention to understand. Because if you listen with an intention to understand, you will also make sure there is statistics. I mean, there are statistics and data that is going to assist you in amplifying your critique or your criticism of, for example, the president's speech. Because you are saying, no, according to the Namibia Statistic Agency, according to their survey, according to this survey, these are the findings. And you are saying this, Madam President, where are you going to get the money? How are you going to implement this? Those are questions, very tangible questions, that are based on, you know, knowledge. But if we just stand and if we will just be making statements in the media for the sake of making statements without statistics and without data, we will become dangerous politicians. Because we are instigating entitlement in parents. In fact, we are supposed to tell parents to be responsible, so that we minimize a number of children that are vulnerable that need to be taken care of by government. Because I'm telling you that if a government should take care of your child, which means your neighbor should pay for that. Your neighbor who is taking care of who is no child, who is just becoming a teacher today, must pay for your children that you are failing to take care of. Because they are going to pay higher in terms of tax. Because when you raise tax, if NAMRA start to go after companies, companies will also increase the cost. It will increase, you know, the cost of their service providing, the services they provide. If the cost increases, then it also means services will be expensive. Which then culminates into an ordinary taxpayer's pocket, whose hole is already deep. So NAMRA is now getting in. If NAMRA was getting in with two fingers, they will now get in with a full hand in the pocket. So, and you that is making demands, most of the time you are not paying tax. So you don't know how it feels to be, you know, deducted every end of the month. You don't know how that feels. So we need to be, to a certain extent, learn to be responsible. That's one thing that politicians need to take part in, teaching their members to be responsible. Not advocating for more recklessness. So that Namibia becomes a handout dependent, you know, society. Whereby, even where you can, somebody must still come in and aid you. I don't think that's a correct society. I mean, that's a correct way we want our society to be. So, I would believe to say, if the government has come up to say, okay, no tuition fee, no registration, you are going to spend that money anyway. Whether we like it or not, we were going to spend that money. So now why don't you channel that money to say, okay, fine. I'm going to give you half of this money. I'm going to add to your accommodation and food, because government is no longer, I mean, institutions are no longer requiring for us to pay tuition fee. And this, you see what is surprising you? These kids that you people are sending to us to live with us here in Windhoek, they get refunded that money that they got refunded in September. 17,000, that whole money. That's when they know they have parents. You know? That's when you know you have a child, because now there is a 17,000. You tell your child to send that money to you. And in fact, it is secret between you and your child. You are the only one that knows there was a refund. We will only come and hear it when the money is already done. And these children will have contributed nothing at all at the houses where they are hosted and given accommodation. So they will have contributed nothing. No, I send money to my mother. Your mother, who, since you came here in February, has never sent anything. You know, you've been bathing, and in fact, some are even lucky that maybe your uncle is working in town, so he drops you at school. Maybe at Nasty there in Windhoek West, or at Dorado, and at, you see. But you get your refund, you forget, not even to say, okay, uncle, here, I got a refund. Maybe you can add to your petrol. The uncle only comes and hear it that you sent your money to your mother. And you will only hear, see it on the, you know, on their status. But they forget that since February, you have not contributed anything to the upkeep of this same child that is your child now because of the refund. So this kind of mentality is the one that is making it difficult next time for your next child to be accommodated. Because we are being taught to be irresponsible as a society. And it seems this is even becoming political, you know, politically sponsored. We are being taught to be very irresponsible and very much reckless in our approach of life. And dangerously enough, it is becoming politically sponsored. So what NEFF desires the government to do, to me, I would say it is dangerous. To me, I would say it is dangerous. And if you're a parent and you desire the government to take over 100% of your responsibility, that is reckless. You see, that is reckless. So when you are going to, when the child is going to work, and you are trying to come in and say what the child will say, no, but you have never paid for me. My accommodation, everything was paid by the government. You didn't pay anything. You see, parents, you forget that you are entitled to black tax. That when you hear that the child is now, even during the, while they are graduating, you are already sending a message. That remember, I'm your mother. Remember, I am your father. That kind of, that entitled, that, I mean, that entitlement, very high. So, when you are going to say, what? The child is just going to answer you and say, look, my study is paid for by the government. Government has paid for my school. My accommodation, even the oxygen around the hostel was funded by the government. So, your entitlement will be shattered for the first time. So when you are desiring government to take over and pay 100% education for your child, you are shooting yourself in the foot, my friend. Because you are not going to benefit anything from this, because you are not the one that paid for their education. It's government. So I think this is very reckless for a politician to even argue this way. We need to teach ourselves to be, you know, to be responsible. Know your part, know the part that you are playing in the development of the country. Because if we are only a what should the government do for me, if we only develop that mentality, then we are not participating in the development of the country. We are leaving it up to others. So when are you going to bring your part as a parent? When are you going to bring your part? And most of you fold your hands. And the funny thing is that you hear that no uncle who is going to Windhoek, and you say go to uncle who Nekufalele, and that's it. Not even a 200 to say, okay guys, maybe you can pick a KFC there on your way. No, zero. This person is going to, this person has an extra person. And that person is saying, but look, you are supposed to at least give me halfway of petrol. And the argument is that, okuwadhi kanale uka? Toninginyan? Okuwadhi kanale uka, wadhi kanale uka, kovenduka. On my cost. You see? On Dadikanduka Kovenduka on my cost. Not on the, I didn't plan for an extra person. Now, this person is going to look at me again. I'm buying my cold drink. I must share with this person again. See, that mentality is toxic, guys. Very toxic. Not even a bag of mahangu to say, okay, please, here is what you can go and start. Zero. Apparently it's family. What kind of a toxic understanding is that? So we need to know that things that we demand, somebody is paying for that. Somebody's paying for that. You know, sometimes somebody called me, yeah, no, we wanted to call in. Why is there a playback on this time? Why is there a playback? We want a live show. And I'm asking for the person. I'm asking this person, do you know what you are talking about? Somebody's paying for that. Yours is to demand, but somebody is paying for the person to be live at this time. You see, you need to know that somebody's paying for that person who should be live at that time, at that hour. It's not free. It's not, we shouldn't just be demanding things. We need to understand the cost of what we are demanding for. So, and if you don't know how to come in, don't demand. If you are not able to come in and support, do not make demands. So somebody is paying for that hour, and that person was serious. So I also had to change my tone to match his seriousness. No, you guys are trying to change things. No, you are demanding for what you don't understand. Somebody is paying, which means if there should be somebody live at that hour, is somebody paying for that, and it's not you. Fortunately, it's not you. So I think we need to start learning. You know, we need to start learning. Let us acquaint ourselves with data on the ground, so that when we make demand from knowledge. You don't just make demands. I tell my children, when they tell me, no, other people's children go for vacation, I tell them they can afford vacation. I can only give you what I can afford. So, I can only give what I'm able to afford. Anything that is beyond my pocket, I just hear it exists. In fact, I distance myself from things that are beyond my account balance. So, when we make demands, especially, you see, family is becoming very toxic because of this entitlement mentality that is growing very fast in families, where yours is just to make demands and you are not aware of the costs involved. Can you imagine somebody demanding a baki at a wedding? That must be transporting them. Do you know how much a baki is? A new baki. So, when you are making demands, parents, when you are making demands, you need to understand the costs. You don't just make demands because you are senior. That's why you are killing young people. Let the young people grow. Allow them to grow. Yes, the person just got a job last month. Allow the person to grow so that he or she is now at a position, well, good position enough to help you. The person doesn't start a job today and tomorrow you are making demands. That mentality is toxic. And theologically we say it is demonic. Because that's a mentality that is inconsiderate. And if this is how we are growing as a society, and in fact coming from political leaders, then I'm afraid of what we are about to become. If this is the mentality that we are cultivating in us, in ourselves, then I'm very much afraid of the type of generation we are about to become. Because demands are very high and very unrealistic. Very much unrealistic. To the point that certain people don't want even to hear the word mother. They don't want to hear the word father. Since they started working. Some of you, when you see your mother's call, you know, when you hear a call, your phone ring and you see it is your mother calling, it's already, you already start to have your adrenaline already rises because you must already prepare for threats. And this started immediately after you started working. Now you are regretting for being employed. Black parents. Hi, guys. So, if it is now coming into politics where we just want to be making demands, unrealistic, reckless demands that are not data, are not guided by data or statistics. Look, you can't have 100% education free. Under this normal circumstances that we are in as Namibians, you can't have that. You don't need this, you don't need rocket science to understand that. In fact, you don't need rocket economics. You can't have your accommodation, your dreams, your carbon dioxide and your oxygen funded by government. You can't have that. In fact, even in our houses, we don't give everything to our children. We teach them to be responsible, that if you want something, you have to work for it. Otherwise, we are raising a spoiled, you know, generation of people that will never be able to help themselves after we are gone. So I told my children, I told them that, look, you are not queens. You are not special. So if you don't get used to your grandparents and your other cousins, if you are not going to get used to them, you are setting yourself up for failure. Because I'm not God. I don't live forever. I can go and now. And I can go and sleep now and never wake up. So I can go and sleep now and never wake up. So what will happen? You will have children that were raised up like queens, and then they'll start to learn life the hard way. So if politicians, if you are not raising a Namibian society to know that they are, to a certain extent, they will have to work for something. If we are raising a society that is going to be government dependent, we are setting ourselves up for failure. If this is what politicians want, it is dangerous. It is irresponsibly reckless. If that is one, if that is what NEFF wants, it is dangerous. We cannot have, we cannot afford a society that is 100% government dependent. A society of parents that don't know their contribution and their part, the part they have to play in the process of their children's education. We are not going anywhere with that mentality. We are setting ourselves up for failure. Because anything can happen. We are living in the world of geopolitical unpredictability. Things are very much unpredictable now. And if the Namibian society is going to be raised up to be 100% government dependent, whoop, you are having wool. You are not having people. That is cotton. So we need to understand our role, the role that we have to play, whether it is in development or in any sphere of life. We need to know that we also have a role to play. We need to understand that. And politicians, you are the ones that are supposed to be at the forefront of driving this understanding. You are supposed to be at the forefront driving an understanding where society, members of your political formations, teach them to understand the role they have to play. Don't teach them to be government dependent. And do not think that when you stand to criticize every time and make demand, you are just making political gains. But you are destroying society. You are destroying society. Teach your members to be responsible and to understand the type of role they are supposed to play. Let everyone ask themselves, what, you know, why on earth am I here? Why am I here on this earth? What is my contribution? What is expected of me as a citizen of this country and as a parent? Well, Realm of the Historics has landed. And it is a goodbye from me. We meet again next Saturday.